all of the minor chords in Christmas music, I believe, are not only beautiful, but they're there on purpose because they, you know, the fact of the coming of Jesus came with not only joy, and we swing into the minor away from the, or the swing into the major away from the minor, but the minor is all about what we're going to talk about today. That part of it that is unsure, that's leaning toward resolution, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So the Christmas hymns have those beautiful swings from the minor to the major in order to capture, I believe, that sense of longing and anticipation that we're going to resolve. There's going to be a movement into resolution in the coming of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 38. You know, we're going to have some of our scriptures on the screen. Some of them won't be this morning. Don't ever get out of the habit of bringing your Bible and getting familiar with where the books of the Bible are. That's one of the disadvantages of having it on the screen, is that we get out of the habit of learning where they are located in our Bibles. So if you forgot your readers this morning, or you don't have your Bibles, it's on there on the screen for us all. But if you have your Bibles, I just want to encourage you to keep familiar with the scriptures in your hands. It's a beautiful format. It's not the only format. Some of you can pull it up on your phones. That's great too. But along with knowing where the books are is a general knowledge of the Word of God as we have it in our hands today. So I just don't want us to just lose that with this generation, that we lose how to figure out where books are in the printed Word. So it's a good thing. Well, I remember years ago how simple life looked like it was going to be. Can anybody relate? I can remember thinking about seeing people go through issues and troubles and trials, and I'm thinking, man, I'm not going to have to go through that. Because I know what I'm doing. I have got it pretty well figured out. You know, people are going through stuff in life, and I think I can avoid at least most of that. Then I started to live a little bit, and I can remember when Jeanette and I were in college, and we were 4 years in, 3 years in, and we got the great news that Paul was coming. And so there we were in college, no money, working full time, going to school, and we were going to be blessed with Paul. It was going to be awesome. And we thought, we can do this. This is not going to be hard. I mean, we see other parents struggling, but it's not going to be difficult for us because, I mean, we can do this, right? And as soon as Paul was born, it was even during pregnancy, Jeanette's pregnancy, we were learning about how difficult this was because there was, you know, morning sickness and, you know, when she sat out a little while from school, it meant that I was going to need and work a little bit. I was going to need to pick up. And so it just got really complicated really fast when Paul came along. But, you know, we wouldn't trade it for the world, his coming. But it reminded me of the fact that my mom and dad probably sacrificed in ways that I never even realized until I began to experience, Jeanette and I began to experience the joy of what it meant to have kids. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through, or chapter 1, verse 38 says, this is, of course, Mary's response to the angel of the Lord coming to her and saying, you're going to bear the Messiah, the chosen one of God. You are highly favored. And here's her response. We're going to flesh it out a little bit in a few moments. I am the Lord's servant, Mary responded. May it be to me as you have said. I like this because I think we forget sometimes that Mary was a real girl. She was probably, as most people who study the culture at that time, there's a consensus really that Mary was probably a young girl of about 14 to 17 years of age. And I think she had, like any young person in living in any time, she had nervous anxiety and ambiguity about what her life would look like as she grew older. I think she had anxiety about her future just like we do when we ask, well, Lord, what would you have for my life? What's your will for my life? What are my next steps for the life you've given me? The Gospel of Matthew traces Mary's lineage all the way back to Abraham. The Gospel of Luke traces Joseph's lineage all the way back to Adam. And I think that's important that we realize that Mary and Joseph were real people. They had family. They had people that cared about them. They had people who were invested deeply in their lives, in their career, in their livelihood. It gets really, really, really real, doesn't it, when you bring a baby home? Now, for some who haven't yet experienced the joy of parenthood, maybe you've thought, wouldn't it be awesome to have a puppy or a kitten? And, you know, it's good that we start there and get to realize that there's needs that that new addition to the home will bring that we don't necessarily haven't carved time for in our lives, or money for, or resources for. It gets really real, Jeanette and I realized, when you bring a baby home. And I can remember kind of thinking, like, so what do we do to keep it alive? I mean, it was like, it's all so new to me anyway. I'm not sure I'd ever held a baby, a newborn baby up to that point. And so I remember feeling like, we're going to break him. But, you know, parents naturally, of course, want to facilitate growth in the life of that child. But we get nervous. We get overwhelmed sometimes at the reality that this is going to be way bigger than I initially agreed to. As any parent knows, there's a lot more to being a parent than taking naps in church with, you know, all quiet and everything's good. I was going to say taking naps on the couch on Sunday afternoons. We got to do that for a while with little Hannah. She's kind of growing out of naps now, isn't she? Not so much taking naps in the afternoon on Sundays. But boy, that was a wonderful chapter. Alyssa would let her be with us in the afternoon and Sunday afternoons, and her and Jeanette would just curl up on the couch and little Hannah would just take a nice nap. And of course, Jeanette got into it too. Nice nap. Beautiful, beautiful. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? More to it than naps and cute little outfits and making the fun little things that they do. There's like flu season. And when that first flu hits the family, I was going to say fan, that wouldn't be the right word. Well, parents are like ducking for, you know, cover because it gets bad. And then when you get the flu as a parent, so the baby has the flu, the parent has the flu, and you have to take care of the baby, even if you're sick. And you realize, oh my goodness, there's so much more to this than I originally thought. This baby, this blessing is going to kill me. I'm not going to live through this. That's when the reality of being a parent gets really real. That's the title of my message this morning, Getting Real, When God Offers His Plan for My Life. When God offers His plan for your life. Getting real. Mary's life was about to clear up in regards to Oh my, what am I going to do for the future? All of a sudden, it was clear when she said yes to God that she would be able to be a part of God's plan to bring the Messiah into the world. All of a sudden, all the nervous ambiguity about what she would do for the rest of her life was cleared up. And it was like, awesome! Yes, I love this. Thank you, God. And then, at the same time, it got very complicated, didn't it? Mary's life was about to clear up and get complicated at the very same time. Her life was about to be filled with more meaning than she'd ever experienced in her life so far, but also much hardship. When we say yes to God's plan, number one, life will probably get more complicated. Life was so much simpler when I was younger. I wanted fancy wheels for my car. I wanted gas in my tank. And I wanted a date for Friday night with Jeanette. It really was. Yeah, we've dated since we were sophomores in high school. So, but life was about simple goals. Be happy, live free, enjoy. And as I got older, then, of course, fell in love, and life began to be filled with so much more meaning than fancy wheels and gas in the tank. Life began to be filled with love and everything that love brings in. And all of a sudden, my simple life got kind of complicated. It got easy in that I loved what was happening in life right now. I was seeing the future. I was envisioning God's plan for our life, and yet it was hard because we had to start making decisions about what direction we were going to go and what we were going to do, and it all of a sudden got easy, but it also got hard. The details when God shared his vision were not in the vision. When God shared his plan with Mary, he said, I want you to bear my son, Jesus. Bring him into the world. And she's like, she had some good questions, like how, when, and the angel said, don't worry about that. It's all taken care of. And so she said yes without realizing all of the details. Well, she couldn't see it. She's just like you and me. She couldn't see all the details that we're going to go into being a parent and being a part of God's plan. And you know what? I think that's by design. It has to be because we're human, aren't we? I'm so human that went to the hospital. What day was that? Thursday. Spent the day at Rockford Memorial. Well, I went up here to get my flu shot first, the KSB, and I had this heavy shirt on, and I had to realize I had to take it off before. So I got my poke in the arm, and then I put my shirt on real hurriedly, and I didn't button it right. You know, it's so the collar was up here and down here. And so I was walking out of KSB, and I was going, you know, hey, and people were going. And so I went on up to Rockford and, you know, went through the, you know, big foyer there and waving at people and saying hi, and they're all friendly and everything. And I got sat down with this family, you know, I was talking with them. I met three boys I hadn't met before, and the father was going in for a heart procedure, and we're talking with them, and I'm feeling a little bit like this side is up a little further, and I'm in front of all of them, and I discover what has happened. I'm like, oh. I politely excused myself and went back and changed, you know, anyway. But we're all human, right? So Mary couldn't envision all of the details that were going to go into saying yes to God's plan. They were going to come a little later, one little bit at a time. When we say yes to God, the vision was at first very clear. Now, when I was younger, quite frankly, I felt like God was right where I needed him. I could go to him at any time. He's always there. He's right where I put him. I could put him in storage for a little while. Or I could bring him into the living room and he could be right there. And then he shared a plan with me to let him out. Let him out of the box that I'd put him in. And all of a sudden, because I search for meaning in life just like you, I said, I got to have meaning more. It means more to me to have meaning in life than it does to keep the author of the universe contained. And so I'm going to let him out in my life. And it cleared up about my future. It cleared up about what we were called to do. It cleared up about what life was all about. All of a sudden, life made sense, but then God was out in my life. And all of a sudden, life got clear, but it also got complicated. Because along with the reality of God being present in my life, everywhere in my life, all of a sudden, all the complexities of my choices and the complexities of my lordship of my life came face to face with his lordship, and that's when it got down to the nitty-gritty. And it got complicated. Complicated is, don't think of it as bad, amen? Think of it as real. We're going to all face God someday. But when we let him out of the box now, we're letting the reality of God permeate our existence now. So it's not that it's bad that life is complicated when we say yes to God, but it's that it's real. Sometimes, just like when we rethink the thought, man, he makes that look easy. And when I try it, man, it's a lot harder than it looks. It's not that it was easier for this person or that. It was that they saw the vision and committed to the process and allowed the complications to happen in their life without running. I think the greatest thing that we can do is learn to weather and face the storm instead of learning or trying to learn how to outrun it. Because we're all going to face the storms of complexity. Maybe that's where you are today. Facing a storm of complexity. Life was, wait a minute, I didn't see that when I said yes to God. And God said, you weren't ready for it. We're like, oh God, now it's hard. Now it's really difficult. Why is it so complicated? And then there's the reality that sometimes there's people in our lives that love us so much, and they see us struggling, that they want to save us from the struggle. And they mean well. They really do. And they may come up and they may constructively criticize about, you know, what are you doing? You know, you don't have to do it this way. There's an easier way. You're struggling needlessly. But you see, it all depends on which vision for life you're going to live and accept and say yes to. There is a wide gate, the Bible says, and there's a narrow road. And there's going to be many that travel the wide gate and the wide road. They're going to find it easier. But Jesus says, choose the narrow gate and the narrow road. Few there be that find it. Few there be that stay on it, because frankly, it's very hard. God may ask you to do things that even the closest people to you in your life may not understand. And it's at this point that we may choose a different way, because we wrestle with the thought, surely if God is in this, it shouldn't be so hard. Why is it so hard to follow God? Why is it so hard to follow up with the decisions that he's made? Why doesn't he clear the way and just, You know, like, part the ocean for me that I would walk across and all the bad guys would be washed away. Surely following God isn't this hard, is it? Well, people will misunderstand. Imagine Mary's parents. Now, we don't have a record of the response to Mary's parents when she came home and said, "I have some great news. I'm pregnant." Mary's dad falls over. I don't know. Faints. Mary's mom, a nervous wreck. "What are you talking about?" I can imagine that they would maybe try to save her from God's plan. It would only make sense. They meant well. If they did, I'm not sure. Well, some of the things that we have to do only make sense in the light of God's plan. Some of the things that we have to do will only make sense in light of God's plan. Serving as a missionary in Oaxaca, Mexico, our dear friends Amber and Honey, or the Thompsons, Rachel and Jordan, that we met earlier this year from Papua New Guinea. Maybe giving a kidney for someone that you've never met, giving blood, giving in the thanks offering to help people in other parts of the world that we don't even know so that they can know Jesus. Knitting scarves and baking cookies for the Christmas walk. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, or even just loving ourselves. Some of the things that we have to do only make sense in the light of God's plan. And people close to you will want to choose the best for you. They want to encourage you in the best, and don't tune them out. Just because they have a different opinion than you about what's best for you, don't tune them out. There's usually a grain of truth in there. There's usually something in there that's of value that you can listen to. But it's important that we hear God's plan and follow God's will for our lives. You know, the people that come in beside us and say, "What are you doing? It doesn't have to be this hard." They mean well. But they may or may not be in tune with God's plan for your life as an individual. They love you and do not want you to have to experience risk and loss. But the fact is, life is dangerous, and to follow God is risky. It's not biblical to have an idea that when we come to God, this vision of what He gives us is going to just be as awesome and attractive as it was as the day we got it. There's going to be days that it's going to look like a Calvary's cross as we have to lay our lives down again and again and again. And surely if it's God's plan, it shouldn't be this hard. But just ask Jesus, who even prayed to the Father, "If it be possible for you to take this cup from me, so be it. But even so, Lord, not my will, but yours be done." Maybe this is where you are today. But the blessing far outweighs the cost. You can't find a parent. I've never found one that maybe an untimed or unplanned pregnancy happened, and at the time it's like, "Ah!" And then years later, every parent says, "You know, it was what it was, and it was, I wasn't," it's just like, "Whoa, not ready, but I wouldn't change that for anything." You see, the joy of one of God's gifts far outweighs the cost and the pain. And you see, we get as people to experience the joy of being part of God's plan for bringing the Messiah, Jesus, into the world. Over there in 2 Samuel 24, 24, King David has been mulling over the idea about counting everybody in Israel and Judah so that he could come up with a number for how many men could be in his standing army, men that could handle a sword, men that could fight hand-to-hand combat. And so he began to send out leaders to go into the Judah and Israel and count and take a census. He says he was propelled by his conscience to do so. Well, somewhere in that story, in that chapter, you begin to get the sense that God wasn't really in that. And David got his number, I think it was 800,000 that he came back with, and it was a capable fighting army. But in the end, he came back around and realized that it really wasn't God's plan that he would trust in how many warriors he had, but he would rather trust in the strength of God. So he feels compelled to offer a sacrifice to God. And so, remember the story. He goes and he finds a threshing floor, which would be a place, a level place, probably stone, where it would be high, it would be prepared, an area that he could offer a sacrifice to God. And he looks at this area and he says, I'm going to buy this area to offer a sacrifice to God in repentance for what I have done. I presumed God's will when it really wasn't God's will. And so the king replied, that's King David replied to Arana. No, see, Arana had said, he got caught wind of what David wanted, that he wanted to offer a sacrifice on this threshing floor. And the owner of the vineyard, or the owner of the threshing floor, said, just take it. You don't have to buy it. In fact, here's the oxen that were used for the threshing floor. You can have them to sacrifice. And he said, all of the tools of the threshing floor and everything that goes with it, everything is yours. You just take it and offer the sacrifice. And that's Arana. And David responded, he said, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. I think there's some deep truths that apply here, and in closing this morning. Number one, God always has always wanted our best. He has always wanted our best. Malachi 1, 6 through 8 reminds us that when the priests of Israel were making deals on the side and getting cheaper blemished sacrifices to bring in and offer, God says, I'm not pleased with that. He has always required the first, the spotless, the perfect, that without blemish. God says, you've offered blind, sick sheep to me, and you call that a sacrifice? Things that you didn't want anyway? God has always wanted our best. Amen. And let's not try to convince God to lower the bar just for us. Amen. Let's let Him set the bar. Number two, lack of cost may show lack of faith. Second Corinthians 8, 2 through 3, in that great trial of affliction, in the abundance of their joy and their deep extreme poverty, it welled up in generosity. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The early church was struggling. They didn't have the resources to do ministry. They were struggling. They were scraping the bottom of the barrel. And he says, yet you just kept giving what you had. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. It just comes out of the heart to give. When we've been given much, we want to return. Amen. We are willing to give that which we love. You know, I spend a lot of time in hospitals, and recently also become more familiar with hospice, and realizing that when a group of caring individuals come in to offer assistance in life and in death, it becomes very natural for us to want to give back. And so the hospitals are full of names on the wall of people who give, because at a point of need, they were there. And so the family, or perhaps that individual, says, I want to give back because you were there when I needed you. And that's what happens as we love God, as He gives us our plan for our life, as He offers it to us, and we experience it. A natural response is, I want to give back because He's been so good. And finally, we learn from David that we not to cut corners, even if we can. I love that David didn't take the easy route. Oh man, how the story would change if he'd have said to Arana, "What? Wait a minute, you're just going to give it to me? Awesome. Yeah, I'll take it. And all the money that I was going to give, to buy the threshing floor, I could go out and get this for my kingdom, this for my castle, this, yes." But instead, David said he'd learned enough to know that that's not what he wanted out of life. He didn't want to take the easy way anymore. He didn't want to take the shortcut. He didn't want to take something that didn't cost him something. I love that. I'd like to invite our ushers to come and begin to distribute the elements of communion. Hebrews 13:16 says, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Amen. In closing, Mary was a teenage girl with no material resources to really give. Her gift to God was herself. Her willingness to be a part of God's plan and to bring redemption into the world. Thank you. Her willingness to be a part of God's plan. Her response was, may it be to me as you have said. Why don't we all say that together? May it be to me as you have said. In the fable of the chicken and the pig, y'all with me? And I think that ought to make you break out in a smile. I'm going to tell a story about a chicken and a pig. Okay. In the fable of the chicken and the pig, the two animals discuss opening a restaurant together. And as they plan their menu, the chicken suggests that they serve ham and eggs. The pig quickly objects, saying, no thanks, I'd be committed, but you would only be involved. And I think sometimes we kind of get the idea that life with Jesus is life with the add-on of Jesus. He's involved. That's when we keep him in a box. And as long as he stays where we put him and he does what he's told, we're good. But that's not the Jesus who is God's Son, who is Lord of all. The real Jesus you cannot put in a box. And he demonstrates that he is willing to be more than involved in our life, that he has committed his life to us by giving his life. The chicken could get by just being involved, but not his partner. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, Paul says to the early church. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As Jesus faced the cross, there was no involvement. It was total commitment. He couldn't give his life without giving his life. It's really the same for us as we receive his will for our lives, his plan. There's really no just accepting only the good days, the sunny days when it's easy. It's also the complicated. It's also the cross. It's also death to self. It's crucifixion of the sinful nature. When it gets complicated and we face the nitty-gritty of God's plan in our lives, the vision is salvation for the world. The details is it costs God everything. When he had given thanks, he took bread and said, "Do this in remembrance of me, my body broken for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's receive and be thankful. Lord, today we thank you that you do not offer a salvation that is half-hearted, that will only cost us a little here and a little there. But you offer a salvation, Lord, that is full and free. And we receive, Lord, your coming, your advent. Not only the vision of Jesus in my life and in my family this year, but Jesus in my life. Lord, help us, I pray, to allow you to be Lord in every area of our life. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us as you have and do. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Will you guys stand and sing "Joy to the World" with us as we close the service?
Come, let earth Receiver came. Let every heart prepare Him's room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love. Amen.
Just a couple of announcements this morning. First, I want to thank everyone who made it such a great time for the Christmas walk.
Amen.
We had elves from Lost Lake that helped us out. We had several of you make cookies, lots of cookies. And the setup, I can't believe it looks like this today. So thank you for all your hard work. Just appreciate it so much. It was a blessing. I gave most of you, if not all of you, handouts for the choir performance. O Little Town of Bethlehem will be December 9th at Lost Lake. And there is a small dinner to follow, whatever a small dinner means, but I think there'll be food. If you want to come and bring something, you're certainly welcome to do that. And getting prepared for a new ministry called The Well, that will be starting soon on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Thursday nights. This ministry is in a partnership with KSB for us to serve food, and we will be staffing that. If you want to help, just talk to Tracy. She can let you know what we need help with. Also, John and I would like to invite you to a Christmas open house at our place, December 14th from 6 to 8. Come and enjoy a cookie or whatever else we might have. Also, we've been having a ladies' breakfast. I don't know how many of you are aware of that, but once a month out at Lost Lake, there's a ladies' breakfast. We bring prepared food, so we're not cooking and having to clean it up. But so just bring things that's already prepared. What we're going to be doing is putting together some birthday kits for the food pantry. Sometimes when folks go to the food pantry, they just get the basics, you know, which is necessary. But sometimes it'd be kind of fun to have a birthday cake and some decorations to go with that. So we're putting those kits together. I'll have a list of what you, if you want to do that, in the bulletin next week. If you would want to participate in that, just bring those items and we'll get them packaged to take to the food pantry.
I have one additional. We come around this season, we think about, you know, not only what do we need in our homes, but also in the church. And it's a time to kind of take reflection. And we're at a point in the church where we're ready to make some technical advances that we can sustain. Like, we'd like to replace the projector with like a 70 or a 90-inch 4K TV. It would provide much greater contrast and a lot greater workability for our tech department. Also, we're at a point where we could grow the video ministry significantly by purchasing a controller box that would fade in and fade out. We're at a point that we could use like three cameras and be able to switch between them and focus so that they would be focused at different points and switch. That would be a wonderful addition for our online participants. And also some software for that. But also, we're at a point where the computer that Brad has been using is probably 10 or 12 years old by now. Windows 7 is going bye-bye, as you know, if you're familiar with Microsoft. But also, the computer has been pushed and pushed and pushed. And we're at a point where we can't move ahead with even easy worship because we don't have the space and the processing power on the computer that we currently have to be able to do that. We've got the program, we just don't have the computer capable of doing it now. It could be done if we unloaded everything else and let Easy Worship run, but we kind of need some other things too. So all those upgrades, you know, we'll be looking at probably $3,000 or so. But the primary one would be the computer and the screen, big screen TV, which could probably be done for about $1,500 if we're wise with our resources, which we want to be. So if you're thinking about maybe giving to the church like a Christmas gift, know that that's something that if you designated in the memo, what would we call it, technical upgrades, maybe tech upgrades would be great. That money would go directly to that, and we'd be able to kind of move beyond some barriers that have been causing some issues. Another thing that we'd like to see is some monitors perhaps up there so that we don't have to look down up here, and it really helps, or maybe back there. But all in a little bit of time, of course, we want to finish the nursery with some monitors and some so that our nursery workers can be a part of the service, just, you know, like we are out here, but able to participate in the service. Just a lot of things that we could do that wouldn't cost a lot of money. They're right around the corner. And if you're thinking about what could the church really use that way, that's one of them things. So yep. Just want to put that out there.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You are dismissed. Have a blessed week.